Good afternoon, and welcome to A Podcast Runs Through It. I'm your host, Nelson King, along with Dixie Hart. And this is another one of our episodes dealing with candidates running for state office. The state office in this case is the Secretary of State, which is not something that has to do with foreign relations directly, right? Secretary of State for the state of Montana has a lot of different duties. It's not well understood, and yet it is one of the big state offices because it has a seat on the land board, and because it has a lot to do with wallet and pocketbook issues, and because it has to do with voting. So our person we're going to interview today is Bryce Bennett, who's running for the office. And I think that without a lot of preface to this, he is as well qualified as anybody we've seen.
Yeah, a lot of his work that he's done in the legislature has been focused on voting, making voting a lot easier for Montanans. So I think that's going to be a big part of what he hopes to accomplish. And also working with small businesses, and I think he's got some experience in that, and he's done some legislation around that, so he's a very well-qualified candidate.
Yeah, you're rarely going to find somebody who has done the work before he even hits the office. Almost like he was born for it. You know, he thinks in terms of voting rights and how to do this and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting interview. I believe it'll well worth your time to listen to. Well, thank you. This afternoon, we're a podcast runs through it. We're going to be interviewing Bryce Bennett, who is running for, and I'll give us a drum roll here, Secretary of State. Now, this has nothing to do with foreign policy. And this is the Secretary of State for the state of Montana. And Bryce, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's, I think maybe what good place to start would be your background, but also maybe if you can weave into there something about what is the Secretary of State so people can understand why it's important. Because that would explain a little bit about why you want to do it. But
sure, yeah. So I'm a fifth-generation Montanan. I was born in Billings, spent my early years in Hysham, and have lived in a number of different parts of this great, big, beautiful state of ours. You know, I first ran for the legislature in 2010, and I've been elected five times now. I served 8 years in the Montana House, and I'm serving my first term in the Montana Senate right now. You know, the work that I did preceding the legislature, as well as the work that I'm doing at the legislature, has been almost entirely focused on trying to make sure that our democracy works for everybody. And that's a lot of what the Secretary of State's office is about, and a lot of the reason why I want to run for this office. I've been, you know, out in knee-deep snow and pouring rain to register Montanans to vote by the thousands. And, you know, I didn't do that because I wanted to help some candidate or some party, but I just believe that our democracy is strongest when more people are able to participate and more people are voting. And I think that we need a Secretary of State that, you know, in their process of overseeing our democracy will be a champion for voters, somebody that will help our, you know, will help Montanans from rural areas and urban areas, from east and west and everywhere in between, to get registered, to get voting, and to have their voice heard. I mean, there's other really important things that the office does. I mean, I think that's the one that brought me to this office in the first place, but they oversee business services. So if you're a small business, they're the ones that can make sure that you're not wading through a bunch of red tape and bureaucracy to do your filings to either start up a business or maintain it on an annual basis. And I think there's a lot of improvement to be done on that part, and I can talk about that more in detail. You know, in addition, one of the other major aspects of this office, as well as a number of others that are statewide offices in Montana, is that it has a seat on the land board. And the land board oversees how we use, you know, millions of acres of our public lands and, you know, whether they're accessible to the public. And I think that we've got a land board right now which has been focused on denying access and standing up with the folks who want to put up gates and barbed wire to block folks like us out. So I think that there's a lot of change that needs to happen in this office. And I think the background that I bring and the work that I've done in the legislature makes me a good fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's spend a little time with what you've been able to accomplish in the legislature. I, just speaking personally, I was aware like a couple years ago how well the mail-in balloting goes in this state and how well organized it is. And then I realized that was a lot of your work, actually, wasn't it? I mean, you helped streamline that and set it up.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there, you know, I think that we have a system that works pretty well, but there were certainly some kinks in the system that were causing people to lose their opportunity to vote or certainly to receive a ballot in the mail. You know, I was able early on in my work to streamline the voter registration process so that instead of having to fill out two separate forms to get an absentee ballot, now it's just a checkbox on one form. You know, I was able to make sure that people don't have to drive hundreds of miles in rural Montana just to drop off a ballot, which used to be the case in a lot of different situations. And, you know, we made it so that the process of having to confirm that you want to be on the absentee list, which is something we used to do, and I'll talk about this in a second, every other year, you know, was something that you could do online and not just with those little postcards.
But, what was it about you that you looked at the problem and said, these are the kind of solutions I'm interested in? Or how did you get to look at that problem in the first place? I mean, where were you coming from to be able to see that, all right?
Sure. Access to our democracy has been the great passion of my life. And I think a lot of that comes down to some of the voter registration work that I've done, because I know that when you find somebody out on a, you know, a street corner or at a school or a senior citizen center or the fairgrounds to register to vote, especially people who've never had a chance to vote before, I mean, you see something special come over their face. I mean, you see people realize that their democracy is not something that just has to wash over them anymore or something that doesn't include them anymore. They realize that they get to have a voice. Mm-hmm. I mean, our democracy is foundational to everything else. I mean, whether you care about our environment or healthcare policy or military spending or whatever it may be, whatever mm-hmm. your issue is, it's all embedded on a strong democracy, making sure that the results that we get out of our democracy are truly representative of the people of this state. And in the most representative sense would be if everybody was registered and everybody was voting. And I think that there's still some barriers that exist for us to, you know, that make it harder for some people to be able to participate in that process. But I'm proud of the work I've been able to do in the legislature to make that a little bit mm-hmm. easier and more accessible for folks.
So there's a technical side to this, too. I don't know what they call it. Oh, I think the economists call it mechanism design. But basically, you look at a problem and you say, you can't legislate the change in morality, you can't legislate the change in attitude, but you can make devices that make things work better.
Absolutely.
You know, and how do you get to that? I mean, what's in your background that puts you in a frame of mind to think of those things?
You know, I think it's just being on the ground and seeing how the systems we have actually affect people, because I think a lot of times, you know, politicians will look at some of the systems and without much knowledge of how our elections work or the steps that people have to go through, they may not realize that there's things that are actually keeping people out of the process. And also there's a lot of people who, for one reason or another, because they live in an area that's very close to a polling location or it's very easy for them to get a ballot in the mail, they don't think about some of the other folks in rural Montana on some of our Native American reservations, you know, some of the young people who are moving around all the time. You know, they don't think about some of the barriers that they have to crack through to be able to participate at the same level mm-hmm. as everyone else in Montana. I mean, I'll tell you a story. You know, one issue that was a huge problem with our vote by mail system was those cards I was just talking about. Every other year, we would send out a little postcard in the mail from the county elections office to people who vote by mail saying, do you still want to vote by mail? And then 2 years later, do you still want to vote by mail? And then when nothing changed and you still were at the same address, the one that you've been at for 30, 50 years, you'd still get the postcard in the mail saying, do you still want to vote by mail? And the problem with that was that we were hemorrhaging people off of our vote by mail list because people would lose the postcard. They thought it was a permanent absentee list. You know, they really didn't understand why they had to keep filling that out. And then when election day would come, they didn't get a ballot. And in a lot of situations, that meant that they didn't vote. So I was able to pass a bill in the 2017 session that said, if you don't move, you're no longer going to get that card and you're just going to stay on the list. And that may seem like a small thing, mm-hmm. but we discovered in the 2018 election, because we were able to pass that bill, 72,000 Montanans got a ballot that otherwise wouldn't have. And I think that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a real big deal.
In a lot of elections, obviously not all in one place, but that distributed, that's still a lot of votes, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's for elderly people and, you know, handicapped people, that's a great thing. Makes it a lot easier.
Absolutely.
You also wind up with a kind of distributed participation. People talk about it. Some are doing it early, some are doing it late. You know, I personally like to go to the polling booth, but that's just me. You know, some
sure.
people prefer to do the mail. So anyway, in the job, you did this in the legislature, and that's not the only thing. I think you want to list some of the other things you did that are helped the electoral process.
I'll tell you one of the other things that's not specifically about the election process, but is fundamental to our democracy, and that's, you know, I was one of the leaders in passing the Disclose Act in Montana. I mean, for generations, Montana has had a huge issue with the influence of dark money in our elections. We've seen, you know, since the days of the Copper Kings, people pouring millions of dollars of undisclosed money into our elections to try to influence Montanans and tell us how we're supposed to vote. So after the Citizens United decision really amplified that to an unprecedented level, and Montana was just seeing record amounts of undisclosed money, dark money in our elections, we had to do something about it. You know, while my opponents were out there colluding with some of these dark money groups, I was actually able to bring something to the legislature that was able to pass on a bipartisan basis that says that every penny that is spent in our elections, whether you say something as straightforward as vote for me or something as ambiguous as, you know, tell Senator Bennett to change his mind about X, Y, and Z, you have to disclose every single penny that is spent in our elections so that Montanans know exactly where the money is coming from, what you're spending it on, and how much you're spending. And I think that our democracy is stronger for that reason.
Yeah, it is, but getting that, it wasn't easy. I suspect that the legislative fight, well, we're all aware of voter suppression. We're all aware that for every ounce of energy and mentality you've put into fixing things, there have been other people thinking of ways to screw it up. And to limit access, and so any of these bills you bring to the legislature are going to be fought. Somebody's against them.
Absolutely.
I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, what's your position toward? I'm not going to say it's the Republicans or the conservatives or whatever, but certainly.
It is a hideous act. Mm-hmm. The work that has been done in the legislature by some to try to suppress the vote of Montanans, and we have seen it year after year after year. I'm proud of the fact that, you know, I've stood up to push back every single opportunity that I've had. I mean, there's been bills to try to limit the IDs that you can use. They've tried to make it harder for people to register to vote, harder for people to get an absentee ballot. You know, they take away days for people to vote early. They want to get rid of Election Day registration. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, it is undeniable that there is a voter suppression agenda that is carried by a number of legislators who are trying to make it harder for Montanans to vote. And, you know, when you're a working mom, or you're somebody who lives 100 miles away from your polling location, or you're somebody who's already struggling to have a voice in your democracy, each of these things will typify or will put a real barrier between you and your ability to cast a ballot. So fortunately, we've been in a position where we've been able to stop almost all of these awful bills. I mean, I very much appreciate the work that Governor Bullock has done to veto a lot of these awful voter suppression measures. And I'm proud of the fact as well that we've been able to kill a lot of them in the legislature. But, you know, I think that as Secretary of State, we need somebody that will be a champion for our democracy, who will go into these committees and tell people about the real life effect that happens when we make it harder for people to vote. And that's what I want to bring to this office. I think that we, you know, in our current Secretary of State, have somebody who that's been pushing false accusations of voter fraud and has been trying to make it harder for people to access an absentee ballot. And I think there's some real opportunities to fundamentally change that view out of the office and have somebody that will, mm-hmm. you know, stand with voters.
Well, but before we shift gears, are there any other achievements along this line that you did in the legislature that you would like to highlight? Or I looked at the record and it's considerable, you know.
Sure. You know, the funny thing is that I've done so many voting bills over the years that I kind of lose track of them. But, you know, I'm proud of the fact that, you know, piece by piece, inch by inch, I've been able to build bipartisan coalitions that have made it more accessible for Montanans to vote. And, you know, every single session that I've been up there, I've been in the minority, which means that I have to bring Republicans on board. I have to bring people from across the aisle, you know, into this discussion and get them on board with the idea of making our elections more accessible. And I'm proud of the fact that I've been successful in doing that. So, you know, I think that that is something that we need out of our next Secretary of State, somebody who, you know, is not just going to be entrenched in one party, but somebody who can work with all parties involved. Because I don't know who will run the legislature next session. I don't know who the governor will be next session, but we have to have somebody that can bridge those divides and bring people together to make our democracy and a number of the other issues that the Secretary of State's office looks over, you know, actually come to pass.
Yeah, you pretty much begun to answer the question I'm going to ask now, which is what got you to flip from, okay, I've been in the legislature for a number of years, I've done a lot of work on this issue from the legislative point of view, now I want to be Secretary of State, I'm in the administration. It's a different perspective. What got you to make that change? You know, it's a bit of a risk, actually. You are already a state senator, you know, and you could do that for another couple of years anyway. But Now you're running for Secretary of State. Why the change in reference? What happened to you?
That's a great question. You know, I'll be perfectly honest in saying I never had any thought that I would ever be running for statewide office. And certainly a number of years ago, I never even imagined that I'd be running for the legislature. I was happy to, you know, help register people to vote and be engaged in my community on some of the issues that matter to me. But, you know, I feel like we need some change in that office. And I feel like, you know, after hearing from a number of people across the state who have been encouraging me for years to think about stepping into this role, I felt like it was something I had to consider, and I didn't come by it very lightly because I knew it would be, you know, a tremendous amount of work, but I knew that that work would be worth it if we could have a Secretary of State that woke up every day excited to help more people engage in their democracy, help small businesses succeed, and somebody that will work to make sure that our public lands are accessible and not being sold off to the highest bidder. So I'm eager to bring that voice to the office, and I think it's time that we have someone there that's not trying to use this office as a stepping stone. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody that wants to spend every moment of their day being the Secretary of State, you know, because if I can do this for 8 years, I'll be as happy as I possibly could be.
Maybe I'm not correct with this, but I believe that the Secretary of State has a regulatory function.
Yes.
It also has a, I guess you could say, a proponent, or you can start. Can you start legislation?
No. So
I mean, you can't write it, but can you? Neither can the governor, for that matter. But that they're always involved with getting certain kinds of legislation going. So,
sure. Yeah. So the way that the different agencies, what they're called, are able to bring legislation forward is they can bring a package of bills that they would like the legislature to draft to one of the interim committees, and in this case it would be the State Administration of Veterans Affairs Interim Committee, a committee that I've been on for a number of years, and they can ask them to draft it, and then the office has to find sponsors in the legislature to carry that legislation for them. So they can't directly have it drafted, but there is a partnership that is built between the legislature and a number of these administrative entities to move bills forward.
Not always. I've noticed, you know, the Secretary of State can advocate as loudly as possible for voting and for making voting easier and so forth. So you have a very large advocacy.
Well, at least they should.
Yeah, we should. I guess what I'm getting at here is that there are many sides to the Secretary of State, okay?
That's right.
What's the regulatory side like?
Yeah, so, there's a number of things that the Secretary of State does, and, you know, it's sort of interesting to talk about because all of them are fairly disconnected from the others. So, you know, I think the regulatory piece that you're talking about is the business services world. So, you know, every business, when they come into Montana, if you're doing work in the state, has to register with the Secretary of State, and there's annual filings that they have to do as well. But, you know, my view in all of this is that this is a very ministerial thing that the office does and shouldn't be something that, you know, is putting people out. And the sad part is that it seems like the process of registering a new business or, you know, doing your annual filings has gotten more and more complicated under this current Secretary of State. You know, something that used to take 10 to 15 minutes is now taking people hours. And I'm hearing people say that they're having to hire lawyers or accountants to help them through that process. And obviously, for a lot of small businesses in Montana, that's a real hit to their bottom line. I mean, a lot of these folks are, you know, barely making enough profit to put some food on their family's table. So I want to make sure the process is once again accessible so that we can clear some of that red tape, streamline some of the bureaucracy, because I want people to be able to get in and get out and get on with their day. And I think that that's been long overdue in that office.
Yeah, let's, I know you, well, Corey Stapleton is the current Secretary of State, and he's not running again. I don't want to put you in a position of saying, you know, everything he did was bad and you're going to have to redo it all. That's not true. But from your perspective, what needs to be fixed? Maybe starting from the top down, what are your priorities when you,
sure,
day one in the office?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I want to be clear that, you know, I'm not running because, you know, I'm trying to, you know, speak poorly about the current Secretary of State. I obviously have a number of disagreements with the way that he's run the office, but I also want to be clear that I'm running because I have a positive agenda about what this office could be. So I think that a lot of that is focused around voting, making sure that we have a champion for voters in the Secretary of State's office, somebody that will go to high schools and to civic groups and to help people understand why voting is so important and why their voice matters in such a meaningful way. You know, I think that it's important to be a champion in the legislature to help pass bills that will make sure that our democracy works for everybody and isn't leaving anyone out. I mean, we need somebody in business services, like I just mentioned, that will ensure that small businesses have a voice at the table, so that they can tell us directly about the needs that they have, so that we can streamline the process so that they can spend more time on their business and a lot less time wading through the bureaucracy of state government. And certainly on the land board, I mean, there's so many folks right now that are asking for easements on their private land to help more people get from tracts of public land to other tracts of public land. And the land board over and over and over is saying no. Mm-hmm. Telling people that they can't even use their own land in that way. We need to have people on there that will make sure that access is a priority so that more Montanans have opportunities to hike, hunt, fish, and explore. And I think that having a number of new leaders on the land board to push that agenda forward is going to be very important.
Mm-hmm. A specific issue. One, I know a big piece of what the Secretary of State does is work with the county registrars.
Yeah.
Various offices. And currently, they're trying to put in new software.
Yes.
The software issue, which I'm sure you've heard quite a bit about.
Absolutely.
And maybe you can explain that to some of our listeners. But in any case, it's, I know the registrars have been in favor of more voting machines or voting whatever they want to call them. Mm-hmm. And then there's this new software, and which was supposed to be in place by the 2020 election, which it won't be now. So maybe you can explain that to us.
Sure. Yeah, so right now we have a statewide database called Montana Votes, and it is the system that every county election administrator or clerk and recorder plugs into so that they can access the full data voter database for the state. So somebody in Carbon County can look to see if somebody's actually registered over in Missoula County or vice versa. And that's a really helpful process. We used to have each county siloed into its own little database, but now we have a statewide database. But certainly over the years, it's probably gotten a little out of date and there's some improvements that need to happen. But when anytime you're trying to overhaul a giant database like this one, it takes a lot of time and intentional effort to make sure that it actually gets done right. And the scary part about what was happening with the plan to replace it, which probably needs to be done, I would agree, was that they were trying to speed it through as quick as possible. They were trying to make sure that the first time we used this brand new, untested voter database was a federal presidential election.
Well, that's not a good idea at all.
It's a a deeply terrible idea.
Yes, yes.
So, and I really commend the county clerk's office for, or County Clerks Association for standing up and pushing back and saying, this isn't feasible because there's a committee of them that have been working with the Secretary of State's office and been providing a lot of really important feedback because these folks are on the front lines of our democracy and they know about the practical effects of how the system works. So having people there that can say, you know, the database that you're providing us currently doesn't have any system for poll voting, you know, that's something that completely went unnoticed in the office. You know, they had just sort of brought in a model originally from Washington State that just all votes by mail. And until the county clerks pointed that out, they were content with moving forward with it. Mm-hmm. So they plugged in pieces of other states. And I think that they are getting to a place where the system will work well. And I'm excited to see more of the details once I'm able to access the database in a more meaningful way as Secretary of State. But I think that we got to be mindful about doing it right. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad always told me when I was growing up, you can do something faster, you can do it right. Mm-hmm. And I think that that certainly rang true in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fast, right, or cheap. Pick any two.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right, yeah. And wasn't it like the database was purchased under a no-bid contract?
That's right.
So there's a lot of sort of mystery around how it came into the state or how it, you know, how it was chosen.
Yeah.
For.
Well, and again, I would certainly disagree with going about things in that way. I think that, you know, we have the processes we have with the state and sometimes they're a little bit slower than some might like, but it's because we want to be intentional about some of these choices. I mean, you ask for multiple bids because you want to be able to compare and contrast all of your different options in there, as opposed to just going out to the first group that strikes your fancy. And I hope that this group is providing a great system that will work well for our county clerks, will work well for voters, will work well for the media. We'll make sure that everybody has the information they need when they need it. But certainly I have doubts about the process when people are just getting contracts without anyone else being considered.
Right.
Yeah. This is related in it. When we said the Secretary of State of Montana has nothing to do with foreign relations, well, there is this thing about interference in our elections by
Absolutely.
The Russians. And there's this controversy also about, you know, electronic means of voting being more hackable than the paper and so forth. Where do you... This is a can of worms in this state particularly, because I know it's been denied and then they've admitted that, yes, there were attempts to get into our system and so forth. So,
yeah, right. First, we're told that that Montana's election system there was an attempt to hack.
Yes.
In 2016, and then we're told there wasn't. Now we're finding out that there really was. So basically, how confident are you that our election system is secure and will be in 2020?
I think that so. Let me start off by saying that I have a lot of faith in the security of Montana's election system, but certainly there is more that we need to do to make sure that that continues into the future. So you spoke about paper ballots. Montana currently requires by law that all of our ballots be paper ballots. So unless something changes in the legislature, and I would fight that tooth and nail if they tried, we won't be going to any electronic tabulation methods. And I think that it is very problematic and scary what you see in other states where, you know, the only methodology that they have to know how many votes somebody got on any voting machine is whatever digitally pops out. I mean, the nice part is, you know, we have these systems that scan the votes in, but if anything were to ever happen, we can take that pile of ballots, set it on a table, and count one by one and know exactly the result of the right. election. And that should provide a lot of confidence to Montanans. But, I mean, the larger issue that I think that we're concerned with right now is the international hacking. And the problem is that we have Republican leadership at the federal level who is completely content to sit idly by while these foreign hackers try to get into our election infrastructure. And certainly they're not seeing any pushback from our current Secretary of State. I mean, I have talked with some of the folks at the National Guard. They have a cybersecurity unit that does a lot of important work with the state to make sure that your healthcare records and other private documents are maintained, and they're not able to be hacked into by whoever may be trying to sneak in and get that information. And I think that we should find more opportunities to partner with them, both at the state level and county by county, to make sure that it's not just people hacking into systems from far away, but making sure that people aren't able to send out phishing emails that trick people into giving away information they shouldn't, or tricking people into letting individuals walk into their offices that, you know, say they're there to do maintenance, but might want to stick a USB, you know, form in, right, or plug into one of their machines. So there's a lot of things that should give people a tremendous amount of confidence in our elections. I want to be absolutely clear about that. Our county elections officials are very diligent about this. They want to make sure that the people's voice is heard and that, you know, no one else is able to command the day by, you know, trying to sneak into our election infrastructure. But I think that there is more to be done because these hackers are persistent.
Right.
And I think that we sort of saw them in the light of day in the 2016 elections. They were prevalent in the 2018 elections, and there is no doubt that they will once again be trying to attack our democracy here in Montana and everywhere else in the country in 2020. So we have to be more prepared than ever before.
Anywhere they can.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That kind of, I'll use the word, bleeds off into general voter fraud, which has been an issue, or at least it's been raised as an issue. How do you stand on that, or in terms of Montana, you know?
Yeah, well, I'll say right off the bat that if anyone ever discovers any situation where voter fraud is happening, they should report it immediately. Voter fraud is a very serious issue that we should take seriously. But I'll also say that it is something that has almost never happened in the state of Montana. You know, the secretaries of state came to one of the hearings that I had, where we had, you know, a former Republican Secretary of State. At the time, it was the current Democratic Secretary of State, Linda McCullough. And, you know, people who were bringing some bill were accusing, you know, were making accusations that there was rampant voter fraud everywhere. And we asked the Secretaries of State, the people who are in charge of overseeing this, who each of the county clerks has to report to if they ever find any of these situations, have you ever seen a situation where there was voter fraud, confirmed voter fraud in Montana? And the Republican Secretary of State said, no, he'd never seen it. The Democratic Secretary of State said, no, she had never seen it. So I think that if there is voter fraud, if ever somebody discovers somebody trying to manipulate the process for their own gain, we have to report that and we have to take that seriously. But I think the larger issue that we're seeing right now is that people are undermining folks' faith in our democracy, right, by saying that, right, voter fraud is everywhere, which it certainly isn't. Mm-hmm. The reality is the people that are deciding our elections are Montanans.
Yeah, and that gets back to getting everybody to vote and, absolutely, making it as easy as possible for people to vote, consistent with being secure about it.
So. Right, right. So I assume that that you're in favor of automatic voter registration?
Absolutely. Yeah, so we were one vote away in the Senate last time from passing a version of that, you know, and getting that to the governor's desk. You know, I think that it is a wonderful process that would make sure that more people are getting registered. And for folks who don't know much about what automatic voter registration is, it's the concept that when you go in to get your new driver's license, instead of them asking, would you like to register to vote, they just take the information that you supplied, which is your current accurate information, and ship that to your local county elections office and get you registered. You're able to opt out if you want. No one's required to be registered, but it does ensure that more and more people have a chance to participate in their democracy. And that, I think, is very, very exciting. So, you know, it does a lot for voter access, but also for our county clerks, it does a lot to make sure that the information is as accurate as possible.
Right, right.
Because a lot of times, you know, you get the voter registration form and, you know, maybe the address is like a little bit squiggly, or maybe the form got a little bit mangled in the mail on its way over. And, you know, the clerks have reported that, you know, sometimes they're a house off or something like that because, you know, somebody's handwriting wasn't that good. But if you're just using digital records that are being transmitted directly into your office, it's going to be more accurate than ever before. So anybody that's concerned about, inaccuracies in our voter list, should be a huge advocate
right.
of automatic voter registration, because it's good for voters, it's good for the clerks, it's good for our democracy.
Mm-hmm. Right. What's your position on mail ballots?
You know, again, like I, in previous legislatures, there was a number of bills. I mean, I think for most of the sessions that I've been up there, there's been bills to move us to all mail ballots. And I think that there's probably some ways that that might be able to be done, but I think that you have to be mindful of the fact that mail ballots are still very tricky for some of the folks I mentioned before, like the young people who are moving around all the time. It's hard to make sure that their voter registration is updated all the time. You know, up in our Native American reservations, there's multiple families that share one P.O. box and some places that don't have addresses at all.
Right.
So, you know, we have to be thoughtful about making sure that there's ample amounts of drop boxes. There's a lot of places where people can get a new ballot, you know, can re-register, and making sure that the ballots are actually getting to folks. And, you know, I'll be honest, I have a lot of sympathies as well for people that just want to vote at the polls, you know, because I know that sometimes that's the more accessible option for people.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that it's something I'm open to talking more about, but it has to be done in a way that meets people where they are with the needs that they have as a voter.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, you know, making absentee voting so much more accessible to people has sort of eliminated a lot of the problems that you would intend to eliminate with mail ballots anyway. You know, people that live in the country, for instance, that they don't have to drive to the polls.
Absolutely.
Now. I mean, before I remember, to get an absentee ballot, you almost had to have your lawyer draw up an affidavit that you were going to be out of the state, or you were disabled or whatever. You had to have a valid reason to even receive one.
Absolutely.
And now, you know, anyone can opt to vote absentee, and I think that's made a huge difference.
Yeah, it's a main form of voting now.
Well, yeah, the vast majority of Montanans are voting by mail now. I think in the previous election it was in the mid-60s, you know, just shy of 70%. And I think that in the 2020 election, it wouldn't surprise me at all if we get close to 70% or even beyond it.
Mm-hmm.
We've covered a lot of different aspects of the Secretary of State. Is there anything we missed that you'd like to bring up? Any priorities?
Well, sure. I mean, I'll also point out that the Secretary of State is the one that oversees notaries, which is a very important, you know, work to do. I mean, they're the people that provide a lot of the evidence as to transactions across Montana. And they're also the record keepers for the state of Montana. So every document the legislature works on, everything that comes out of the governor's office, that is all maintained by the Secretary of State. So in many ways, they oversee and preserve Montana's history. And that's a very important part of the office that I don't think gets talked about very often.
At all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of important things that this office does, and you know, I think that you want to have somebody that's passionate about the work. I mean, that's a lot of the reason why I'm running for this office, is because, you know, I've seen year after year people run for this office that are eager to use it as a stepping stone so they can be a governor or a U.S. senator or a congress member someday. You know, are people that just want to run for something to feel important because they have a title, and I want to have somebody in that office that will actually work every single day, every single moment to ensure that the work of the people is being done.
Interested in the nuts and bolts of the job.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that's really refreshing. Yes, right. Maybe we could actually bring the department into the 21st century.
Absolutely.
Obviously, climate change is going to affect all kinds of things in Montana. Do you see any real relevance to the Secretary of State in that?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I think that you look at the work that we can do on the land board, and I think that that's very
right.
you know, connected absolutely. To that work. And I think we have to be mindful about how do we make Montana a leader in pushing green energy forward. I remember in the 2005 session, the legislature passed a bill to provide for a renewable energy portfolio where we said we're going to be visionary and say that 15% of Montana's energy has to come from renewable sources by 2015, and we accomplished that goal. And I think it's time for us to think about other ways that we can move Montana into, you know, a more green future. You know, the former governor, Brian Schweitzer, used to refer to Montana as the Saudi Arabia of wind. And, you know, I think that a lot of this stuff is about economic development.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see, you know, more, especially in some of the rural parts of eastern Montana, where some of those communities are losing population and losing jobs, you know, find ways to invest in, you know, hydro, in wind, in solar, in all of these different opportunities to help produce energy that Montana, you know, is a national leader in, and help create jobs in the process.
Right. So you can, we'll actively be promoting those types of new business opportunities in Montana?
You know, I'll be an advocate for all businesses here in Montana. Right. I think that, you know, having somebody in that office that will reach out to businesses big and small to make sure that, you know, we're looking out for the folks on Main Street and our farmers and everyone in between, you know, is really, really important. So, you know, I'm not just here for one type of business or another. I'm going to be there for everybody that comes to the door, because I believe that customer service is incredibly important and something that Montanans expect.
So we've talked about a few things that are kind of national in scale, for example.
Sure.
Russian interference and so forth. We are asking everybody what Dixie refers to as the question.
Sure.
Which is, do you believe it's appropriate for the President of the United States to ask a foreign leader to investigate a political rival?
No.
And that's 81% it's really of the people easy, say the same thing, but we're we're finding that that's not always a clear answer.
Not everybody feels that way. But, I mean, how about anyone running for any office? Is it appropriate to seek foreign assistance? I mean, conceivably, you could have people, you know, in state offices that would be asking or would be maybe approached by a foreign business that wants to open a plant or something. Is it ever appropriate
no.
to receive any kind of foreign assistance?
No, I think I can say that pretty absolutely. You know, I believe very strongly in clean campaigns that are focused on the issues. And, you know, I've signed the Clean Campaign Pledge that is filed with the Commissioner of Political Practices. That's what I've done for the entire time that I've been running for office over these last 9 years that I've served in the legislature. You know, I think that we need to have a campaign and a democracy that is powered by Montanans. And, you know, that's why the contributions that I've received, you know, the support that I'm getting from across the state is all powered by the people who live here in Big Sky Country. And that's the campaign that I intend to run, and that's how I intend to win.
Excellent.
Bryce, I appreciate your time very much, and it's kind of a pleasure to talk to somebody who actually has got their heart and their knowledge and their background into the job, and you know, good luck to you.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. I hope to have an opportunity to get back before we get to Election Day 2020.
Oh, yes, we'd love to have you back when things start really heating up. But as of now, you don't have anyone running against you right now, do you, on the Democratic side?
No, I don't have any primary opponent, but I've got four Republican opponents at this point. So
right.
I've got a lot of work ahead of me to make sure that I can end up on top when we get to November of next year.
Excellent. All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you so much.
That was an interview that we don't hear very often, somebody who's young and very experienced. And his approach to the office of Secretary of State is, how shall I say it? He's prepared. He's thought about it. He's not going there to be a carpetbagger or a transient.
No, it sounds like, you know, the type of work that he really is enthusiastic about. And like you said, he's young. To have someone his age with his energy and also have the legislative background, the experience that he already has, is, you know, that's a really rare thing. I think I'm grateful that he's willing to take it on, and it sounds like he's planning on staying there.
Yeah, making his mark.
Right. It's not a stepping stone office for him.
He wants to make it better.
Yes.
Not just have it run, but
right.
do it better.
Right.
And he knows how to do that.
Right.
He's very specific. I mean, as a voter, I appreciate what he did to get absentee balloting. simplified.
Absolutely. That's a huge thing.
Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned his accountability efforts to what disclosure rules, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. The work he did with the Montana Disclosure Act, I think that was... It's really amazing that that even got passed in Montana with the Republican legislature, that they were actually able to work together and pass that piece of legislation. So it just
these are significant things we already know about, and he wants to do more of it as the Secretary of State. So do we sound enthusiastic? Yeah, I think that's true.
I think we're like very enthusiastic and really excited that, you know, we're looking at a whole new generation of younger people that taking on these statewide offices. And they're coming in with experience, and they're coming in for the right reason, because they want to make things better. They want to make things work. And they've got the experience and the enthusiasm. And well, so what they need is our votes.
What we want to do with these podcasts, with these interviews with people, is get people's heads in the game that things are changing, and we need these people to go out and represent us, which means vote and take the primary seriously. Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, our thanks to Bryce Bennett for making the trip in from Missoula. It's kind of a treat to hear people that actually know what they're talking about.
Yeah, it is.
And we appreciate all of you out there listening to us. This has been a podcast Runs Through It from Sound Color Studios in Livingston. Dixie and myself, Nelson, thank you very much.